The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
Well, good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Any lucky lottery winnings this week?
I haven't even had time. If I was going to win something, last night the Cleveland Metropolitan Bar Foundation had a fundraiser. So they had all kinds of, really nice prizes to win. So it's all for a good cause, needy and neglected children in the greater Cleveland area. So,
I'll be darned. Well, I look at all the rain out there, and remember last year at this time we were already had snow on the ground. Was that long
winter. I was thinking about that. We kind of dodged that bullet this year. I mean, knock on wood, I'm knocking on my head. But, yeah, it's I thought about that because we're actually getting kind of an actual fall. It's actually fall.
Fall was pretty good.
Winter, yeah.
And, you know, we had a little cold spell there, but, you know, nothing like Buffalo. Don't have snow on the ground like last year. And, hey, I'll take the rain this time of year.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, that goes down the gutters. You don't have to shovel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks. Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday morning, the first Saturday of December, December the 6th, 2014, as the countdown begins for Christmas Day. And if we take a look at the markets, well, they were happy yesterday, closing on an up note. Both the Dow and the S&P closing on record highs. The Dow closed up 58 points to close at 17,958. The NASDAQ, well, it was up 11 points, closed at 4780. The high of the NASDAQ is 4791. It's within 6 percentage points of the all-time high, if you remember. Back in March of 2000, it broke the 5,000 level. And the S&P 500, well, it was up a little better than 3 points, now sits at 2,075. All three indexes are positive for the year after that crummy October. We saw that natural gas was up 15 cents, closed at $3.80. We saw West Texas Intermediate fell again yesterday, 97 cents to close at $65.84. Brent crude down 57 cents. It's also under $70 at $69.07. Gas futures down another 2 cents to $1.77. And at the pumps, oh, isn't it so nice to see $2.49? We actually even saw Oklahoma City, $1.99 a gallon. How do you like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I drove by 245 down the street from here even.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so on, is it Route 18, Medina Road? Right here it's called Market Street. I know what it's called down by the Gent Road, corner of Gent Road, yeah.
Interesting. It's nice to see the prices fall. We saw a gold fall. It was down $17.30 yesterday, closed at $1,190.40 an ounce. Silver was down 31 cents, closed $16.26. The VIX was down 56 cents to close at $11.82. That's the fear gauge, the volatility index measure. And we also saw the bond market with the 2-year now at 0.64%, the 5-year at 1.68%, the 10-year sitting at 2.31%, and the 30-year still under 3% at that 2.97%. A lot of news this past week. First of all, the big number, of course, yesterday, which was kind of weird when we first got the number, the jobs number. We saw the futures fall, and then they came back, and, well, we ended up with record highs on a couple of the indexes. Non-farm payroll employment surged by 321,000 jobs in November. That's compared to the estimates of approximately 230,000 that economists had been expecting. We also saw that the Labor Department on Thursday, what we saw was the jobs claims came in at 297,000 for the week ending November the 29th from 314,000 the previous week. We also got the Institute of Supply Management reading for non-manufacturing this week. Rose more than expected to a 59.3 in November. This compares to the expected reading of 57.5 and the previous month's reading of 57.1. We also saw some interesting news this week. The ECB, and Mario Draghi, this is the European Central Bank, said that the Governing Council will reassess in early 2015 if the current stimulus efforts are insufficient, even as the ECB released weaker growth and inflation forecasts. Lower oil prices may help boost other spending, but could complicate the efforts to boost inflation. While Draghi's comments weren't a surprise, they did disappoint investors hoping for something better, including the sovereign bond buys, which, well, kind of takes the playbook that Ben Bernanke used in the quantitative easing. We also saw something very interesting this week. The millennials are going to lead the home buying next year. Millennials will account for 65% of the first-time home buyer purchases in 2015. That's according to Realtor.com. And the interesting news by the IMF, that's the International Monetary Fund, well, they said that China overtakes the U.S. as the world's largest economy. Now, before you go, what? China's gross domestic product will reach $17.6 trillion this year based on the purchasing power parity. Now, these just aren't based on numbers that you hear. You know, the U.S. has a $17 trillion economy, and China, last I heard, was somewhere like around 8 or 9. But this is based on purchasing power parity. And exactly what is that? Well, what it is, it has to do with these calculations are based on well-established and widely used economic measure known as purchasing power parity, which measures the actual output as opposed to fluctuations in exchange rates. So a Starbucks Venti Frappuccino served in Beijing counts the same as a Venti Frappuccino served in Minneapolis, regardless of what happens to be going on with the foreign exchange traders. So, yep, China overtakes the U.S., $17.6 trillion versus the $17.4 trillion for the U.S. It was a long time coming. As recently as 2000, the U.S. produced nearly three times as much as the Chinese. Well, boy, they've been working their fingers to the bone. And now in 2014 have overtaken, according to the purchasing power parity, the United States of America. And we've got a couple of interesting topics that we're going to be looking at today, so stay with us, and we'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back to Money Talks here in WAKR. As one of the things that I try to do on the show here is to take different perspectives and different angles at the way that a particular story or event occurs. In the Wall Street Today, there's an article by Morgan Housel, and he talks about Sweet 16, the rules for investors. And I thought it was quite interesting. I wanted to share it with our radio listening audience today because it has some very good points in here. He says U.S. stocks are near all-time highs, and doesn't it feel good? He said, including dividends, the index has more than doubled in the past 5 years. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has had 32 record highs this year alone. Even the NASDAQ is less than 6% away from its dot-com bubble peak. But high returns breed complacency and create a false impression of how easy investing can be. The market, this makes a great time to review some fundamental, if overlooked, investing truth. And here are 16 important ones that he says he's learned. All past market crashes are viewed as opportunities, but all future market crashes are viewed as risks. If you can recognize the silliness in this, you are on your way to becoming a better long-term investor. Most bubbles begin with a rational idea that gets taken to an irrational extreme. dot-com companies did change the world. Land is limited, and precious metals can hedge against inflation. But none of these stories justified paying outlandish prices for stocks, houses, or gold. Bubbles are so easy to fall precisely because, at least in part, they are based on solid logic. He goes on to say, I don't know are three of the most used words in investing. I don't know what the market will do next month. I don't know when interest rates will rise. I don't know how low oil prices will go. Well, nobody does. And listening to people who say that they do will cost you a lot of money. Alas, you can't charge a consulting fee for humility. Short-term thinking is at the root of most investing problems. If you can focus on the next 5 years while the average investor is focused on the next 5 months, you have a powerful edge. Markets reward patience more than any other skill. Investing is overwhelmingly a game of psychology. Success has less to do with your math skills or your relationships with the in-the-know investors and more to do with your ability to resist the emotional urge to buy high and sell low. Boy, I can't agree with that one any more than what he says. Things change quickly and more drastically than many think. 14 years ago, Enron was Fortune magazine's list of the world's most admired companies. Apple was a struggling niche company, and Greece's economy was booming. The Congressional Budget Office predicted that the federal government would be effectively debt-free by 2009. There is a tendency to extrapolate the recent past, but 10 years from now, the business world will look absolutely like it does today. Three of the most important variables to consider are the valuations of stocks when you buy them, the length of time you can stay invested, and the fees you pay to brokers and money managers. These three items alone will have a major impact on how you perform as an investor. There are no points awarded for difficulty. Nobody cares how much effort you put into researching a stock, how detailed your spreadsheet is, or how complicated your option strategy is for many people. A diversified buy and hold strategy is the most reasonable way to invest. Some find it boring, but the purpose of investing isn't to reduce boredom, it is to increase your wealth. One of the ones that I like here is don't check your brokerage account once a day, sometimes even more than that, so I've heard from people, because, well, this can cause your blood pressure to be higher than you want. Constant updates make investing more emotional than it needs to be. Check your brokerage account as infrequently as necessary to prevent you from becoming emotional about market moves. How many times have we talked about you have to use logic in your decision-making, not emotion? Emotion will lead you to make the wrong mistakes, usually. Well, you pay the most attention to the investor who talks about his or her mistakes. Avoid those investors who don't. Their mistakes are likely to be worse. Change your mind when the facts change. Admit when you are wrong. Learn from your mistakes. Ignore those who refuse to do the same. They will save you untold investing misery. These are some of the things that I found in this article that are very true to the real world of investing. And basically what we find also is that a lot of the old rules of investing have actually changed over the past 10, 15 years. What you're going to find is that what used to be the norm 25, 30 years ago is different. For example, in 1980, individuals owned 48% of all the stocks. By 2007, that proportion had dropped to 22%. The vast majority of stock is now owned by large asset manager, hedge funds, and mutual funds. You also have the high-speed trading, the high-speed frequency trading, computers, nanosecond technology. There's no more fractions in stock prices. They're all in pennies now. You have a lot different types of investments out there with exchange-traded funds, closed-end funds, bond funds, mutual funds. I mean, back in the early 80s, there were only like 2,500 different mutual funds. Today, there's over 25,000 different mutual funds. So investing has become totally different. On top of that, people think as a fundamental truth of investing is that if you take on more risk, you should expect a bigger reward. Well, the research has shown that not to be true anymore. In fact, they looked at stocks from 1970 to 2011 and found that the riskiest 25% of stocks, those most vulnerable to swings of the broad market, actually only logged in an average return of just 7%. The least risky 25% of stocks returned 10.6% per year. So as you can see, there's a whole different mentality and strategy that comes into successful investing today. And really some of the most important parts about it are the mistakes that the investor typically makes, selling at the bottom because it's an emotional decision. When you're at the bottom of a market, that is the best time to buy. You will reap your greatest rewards. Not taking advantage of your employer's investing 401k, which you can use a dollar cost average to do that. That is a very efficient way of being able to buy your shares of your investment every single month or every couple of weeks. Looking at your statements too often, trying to find those high flyers. You know, you laugh at the fact that people will buy high and sell low. It happens every single day. Whereas the old adage of buying low and selling high, that is the whole premise of what investing is supposed to do for you. And so these give you some more insights and just some refreshers and reminders. Don't make the mistakes. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks Joke of the Week.
A hilarity is about to ensue, so brace yourself.
Oh, the pressure.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah.
But it has to be really funny.
Well, let's see what we can do.
All right.
Just remember, I don't write these jokes.
I know,
jokes.
You aim to please. I know.
Well, this week, Sandy, it's about an elderly gentleman who's had some serious hearing problems for a number of years. He went to the doctor. Doctor was able to have him fitted for a set of hearing aids that allowed the gentleman to hear perfectly again. Well, the elderly gentleman returned to the doctor's in a month for a final check on the new equipment, and after some tests, the doctor proclaimed, "Your hearing is perfect." "Well, thank you for helping me," replied the elderly man. "You're welcome," said the doctor. "Your family must be really pleased that you can hear again." "Oh, I haven't told them yet. I just sit around and listen to conversations I used to miss," replied the elderly gentleman. "Really?" questioned the doctor. "You must still be marveling at being able to hear again and not just ready to believe it yourself. That must be why you haven't told them." "Well, no, not exactly," he says, "but I have changed my will 3 times.
A little financial twist on the end. I know how that went too.
I just listen to what they say. Yeah. You know how it is.
Yeah,
don't worry, Martha. He can't hear you.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, that happens too sometimes when you have a job that people discount, like the cleaning people or something like that. They're in the room and people don't think, you know, they're hearing what you're saying. Yeah. I love talking to people like that because they know a lot of stuff.
Yes, they do. Just do their job. Yeah. Just listen.
Yeah.
The fly on the wall, as they say.
Absolutely.
Well, I've got an interesting thing here. I like to come across these things and I learn things from them. And I like to share them with our audience. These are 9 surprising things that are taxable. Now, if you work for a living, you know that your wages are taxable, and you're probably aware that some investment income is taxed too, but the IRS doesn't stop there. If you picked up some extra cash through luck, skill, or criminal activities, there's a good chance you owe taxes on that money as well, and here are the 9 things that you may not know that are taxable. In February of 2013, a Northern California couple were walking their dog on their rural property when they discovered 6 cans filled with 19th century gold coins. The coins are being auctioned by Kagans on Amazon and may be worth up to $10 million. Now, the couple has wisely chosen to stay anonymous, but they won't be able to hide their good fortune from the IRS. Found property that was lost or abandoned is taxable at its fair market value in the first year it's in your undisputed possession. That means the couple may have to pay federal taxes of up to 39.6% on their windfall, plus California state tax of up to 13.3%. The precedent for this IRS treasure trove rule dates back to 1964, when a couple discovered $4,467 in a used piano that they had purchased for $15. The IRS said the couple owed income taxes on the money, and the U.S. District Court agreed. How about scholarships? If you receive a scholarship to cover tuition, fees, and books, you don't have to pay taxes on the money. But if your scholarship also covers room and board, travel, and other expenses, well, that portion of the award is taxable. Likewise, students who receive financial aid in exchange for work, such as serving as a teaching or research assistant, must pay tax on that money, even if they use the proceeds to pay for tuition. You're going to like this one. Stolen property. If you've robbed a bank, embezzled money, or staged an art heist last year, well, the IRS expects you to pay taxes on the proceeds. Income from illegal activities, such as money from dealing illegal drugs, must be included on your income form 1040. Bribes are also taxable, the IRS says. In reality, few criminals report their ill-gotten gains on their tax returns, but if they're caught, the feds can add tax evasion to the list of charges against you. That's exactly what happened to notorious gangster Al Capone, who served 11 years for tax evasion. Capone never filed a tax return. Gambling winnings. What happens in Vegas doesn't necessarily stay in Vegas. Gambling income includes, but isn't limited to, winnings from lotteries, horse races, and casinos. The payer is required to issue you a form W-2G, which will be reported to the IRS if you win $1,200 or more from bingo or slot machines, $1,500 or more from keno, and more than $5,000 from a poker tournament, or $600 or more at a racetrack if it's more than 300 times the amount that you bet. Even if you don't receive a W-2G, the IRS expects you to report the gambling proceeds on line 21, other income, of your 1040. The good news, if you itemize, your gambling losses are deductible, but only to the extent of your winnings that you report as income. For example, if you won $4,000 last year and had $5,000 in losing bets, your deductions for losses are limited to the $4,000. You can't deduct the balance against other income or carry it forward. How about Olympic victories? Along with the medal and a bouquet, U.S. athletes who win top honors at the Olympics get a check from the U.S. Olympic Committee, $25,000 for gold, $15,000 for silver, and $10,000 for bronze. That prize money is taxable by the IRS. Athletes who can demonstrate that their participation in sports is a business can deduct their expenses, such as travel, training, and equipment, against that income. Proceeds from fantasy sports. Your winning football or baseball team may be imaginary, but if your brilliant lineup helped you win real money, it is taxable. If you won $600 or more and played through a commercial website, you should receive a 1099 miscellaneous reporting for your earnings. The IRS will receive a copy also, and if you won a private fantasy league among your friends, your winnings are also considered taxable. The rules for fantasy football fortunes are the same as those for gambling income. You can deduct your losses, entry fees in leagues that you didn't win, against your gains, as long as they occurred in the same year. The Nobel Peace Prize. If you were selected for this prestigious honor, worth $1.08 million in 2014, you must pay taxes on it. Other awards that recognize your accomplishments, such as a Pulitzer Prize for journalists, are also taxable. The only way to avoid a tax hit to direct the money to a tax-exempt charity before receiving it. That's what President Obama did when he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2009. If you accept the money and then give it to charity, you will probably have to pay taxes on some of it because the IRS limits charitable deductions to 50% of your adjusted gross income. Gifts from your employer. Ordinary gifts aren't taxable, even if they're worth a lot of money. But if your employer gives you a new set of golf clubs to recognize a job well done, or to persuade you to reject a job offer from a competitor, you'll probably owe taxes on those new irons. More than 50 years ago, the Supreme Court ruled that a gift from an employer can be excluded from the employee's income if it was made out of detached and disinterested generosity. Gifts that reward an employee for his or her services don't meet that standard, the court said. Gifts that help promote the company don't meet that standard either. For that reason, former Yankees captain Derek Jeter may owe up to $16,000 federal and state taxes on the gifts he received during his 2014 farewell tour. That's according to Bloomberg News. What you saw was on Derek Jeter Day at Yankee Stadium, the Yankees gave their beloved shortstop a $600 massage therapy machine, a 10-day trip to Italy, and custom-made Waterford crystal. He also received numerous gifts from other Major League Baseball teams. Jeter accepted these gifts during well-publicized ceremonies attended by thousands of fans, which suggests the Yankees weren't just acting out of goodness of their pinstriped hearts. And now you have a better idea of what is taxable by the IRS. And so if you fall into any of those categories, make sure to include it on your 1040. Well, it's time to get on the phones for the Money Talks quiz of the week, 330-370-1590. That's 330-370-1590. If you're new to the show, call in. For being our contestant, you're going to win breakfast at Bob Evans. Answer three multiple choice questions. If you get all three correct, we move you into the bonus round. And again, that number is 330-370-1590. We're going to take caller number four. We'll be right back.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks quiz of the week. And Sandy, who's our contestant?
We have Ken on the line. Ken, you're on the air.
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Richard. This is your UPS man.
How are you?
I'm good.
You finally got through.
Yeah. I made it.
I'm surprised you got a moment during this time of year. You guys are crazy busy, aren't you?
Got the day off today.
Woo.
Well, I'm glad to see you got through. Welcome to the show, and let's see how you can do this week.
All righty.
All right. My first question for you, Ken, whose stock index is currently higher as of the close of business yesterday? Would it be the U.S. Dow Jones, Japan's Nikkei, or the Hong Kong Hang Seng? Which index is actually higher as of the close of the markets yesterday? The U.S. Dow Jones, the Japan Nikkei, or the Hong Kong Hang Seng?
I'll throw a dart at the Hong Kong.
Absolutely correct.
How about that?
What's interesting, and the reason I brought this up, is the U.S. closed at a record high of 17,958, and Japan's Nikkei closed at 17,920. I mean, almost exactly what the U.S. was. But Hong Kong's 24,002. How do you like that?
Excellent.
All right. Beginning on January 1st of 2015, Ken, how many qualified rollovers are you going to be allowed per year? None, because they're eliminating them. One total per year, or one per account. beginning January 1st of 2015, how many qualified rollovers are you going to be allowed per year? None, because they're being eliminated. One total per year, or one per account?
One per account.
Actually, that's what you're allowed right now in 2014. In 2015, what they're doing is you'll be permitted one per year. It doesn't matter how many accounts. Now, to expand on that, you will be allowed to transfer as many as you want, trustee to trustee, but the rollover, considered a 60-day rollover, you'll be allowed one per year.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, we try. And lastly, Ken, how much is a pound of $10 bills worth? A pound of $10 bills. $1,910, $3,230, or $4,540? How much is a pound of $10 bills worth?
I would guess it would be the 4,000 number.
Absolutely correct.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Two out of three is not bad. That gets you,
so
a multi-million dollar contract in baseball, right?
That's right.
Well, Ken, I'm glad that you got through. It was good talking with you. I hope you have a nice weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, Richard, thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
That's so funny. You know, I actually guessed the same. As I thought I was being so slick because I thought, well, I listen to Richard Peterson. I listen to Money Talks. I know the answer to that question about the rollover thing because I remember you talking about that a few weeks ago.
A couple
back.
Weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, but that was for this year, not next year. That was the caveat. Yeah.
The IRS, they're just always looking for ways to tax our money,
yeah,
get more out of it.
Oh, I got a kick out of that list you said. Now, you know, when I go to the horse track, I'm just kidding. I have to make sure I keep track of that stuff.
Any of those illicit activities.
Yeah, when I rob that next bank. Yeah.
You know how it is. Well, how about the 10 morning habits that successful people swear by as we close the program today? Number one, well, they say get up an hour early. That's right. There's a 25th hour in the day. You've just been sleeping through it. Get up an hour earlier is going to take time to adjust to, but once you make it a habit, you'll never look back. Research has shown not only are early risers more optimistic and conscientious, they also anticipate problems and minimize them more efficiently, which, of course, is crucial to success in the business world. Visualize. Early hours foster reflection. Enjoy the quiet and take some time to map out your day. Think through your goals and to-dos. Take whatever notes you need to ensure your day will be calmer and more efficient. Research has shown that even 2 minutes of visualization and positive thinking can improve your mood and clarity for the entire day ahead. Eat breakfast. Time is a luxury. Enjoy it and feed yourself a wholesome breakfast. Sit down with your family and enjoy a hearty bowl of oatmeal. Fuel your body for the tasks that lay ahead of you, and it will help you maintain a steady focus throughout the day. Say bye-bye to that one big task. Reprioritize your to-do list, placing the most dreaded task at the top of your list. Instead of letting it loom over you all day, save yourself the agony and stress and get it done first thing. You'll feel a sense of relief and be more ready and willing to tackle any trivial task that follows. Besides, the morning is the time when you typically have the most energy and feel the most rested. Sounds like a win-win. Motivational mantra. Step one, dig deep and find out what inspires you. Step two, create a mantra. Step three, repeat the same saying to yourself every morning. Step four, breathe and relax, and you'll feel more motivated and focused than ever before. Number six, get moving. Morning workouts not only give you a boost of energy, they pump you up. Ensuring your senses are up and running, you'll feel ready to tackle any problem that comes your way. Studies have shown that people are less likely to come up with excuses early in the morning. I don't know about you, but I can sure come up with a lot of excuses.
I did this morning. Oh, see, I was up late last night, the fundraiser. I was working too hard.
Yeah.
It's raining.
I'm tired.
Yeah,
I'm
tired.
Like
yeah.
can sure find a lot of excuses. I might be able to find more in the evening, but I can still find plenty in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, I find in the evening, I find reasons to stay up. You know, I want to read one more chapter in this book, or, oh, I really want to watch that program. I really want to hear that program. Yeah, that kind of, yeah. So it's like, well, just, you know, 15 more minutes, another hour, and then pretty soon I'm going to bed too late, and then I got the excuses in the morning because I'm tired, yeah.
But then you got to get up an hour earlier according
exactly,
to this.
Exactly, yeah.
Pack snacks, he says. Eating fuels your brain, improving focus, productivity, and memory. Plan your snacks ahead of time and drop some bars into your bag. He opts for protein-filled Kind bars, which is completely natural and prevents the blood sugar from dropping. Smart snacking is critical for keeping your metabolism going and your brain working at full capacity throughout your busy day. Toss it. Learn to let go of the things that are cluttering your life. It's one thing to try and clear your mind, but sometimes you have to physically toss something to feel lighter. So get rid of something. Old magazines, junk mail, apps on your phone, old receipts or papers, and watch how your attitude changes throughout the day. Our lives get cluttered so easily, but they can become uncluttered just as fast. Remember that. Number 9. Oh, go to bed early. Here's the excuse.
So you can get up and do that workout. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a reason to stay in bed, though. Oh, I don't want to get up and work out. I think I'll stay for another 15 minutes. Yeah.
In fact, they say if you want to watch one more episode on Netflix, think again. Getting the proper amount of sleep is critical to not only your mental health and creativity, but to weight control. When your biorhythms are off, it wreaks havoc on your entire system. Getting the proper sleep your body needs sets you up for success in everything else that you want to achieve. So rest. You have much to accomplish tomorrow. And lastly, silence. Waking up early offers you opportunities that few get to enjoy. Watch the sunrise. Hear the sound of the birds chirping. And just be still. We are always on the move. Sit and enjoy the morning calm. It's a brief time where you can be alone with your thoughts and just breathe.
Wow. I know you do that every morning, don't you? Just get up and lounge around and listen to the birds.
Oh, yeah.
Get up and go, oh, no, I got to start rushing around.
Yeah. And how can you do that here? It's still dark when we get up.
I know. It's like, what time is it anyway? Yeah. Well, you know what it is? It's like where you, for me, I've done this where I accidentally fall asleep doing something else in the evening, and then I wake up in a panic because I don't know if it's 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. or, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. Yeah, because it's dark all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I get home from work, and it's like you sit down for a minute, and, you know, it's dark, and you like feel like it's already 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah. I was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon the other day. I'm reading a book, and I'm like, I can't see my book anymore. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What the heck's going on with that? Yeah. But that's just crazy. Yeah.
Like we say, at least it's rain, not snow.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, absolutely. So the big deal going on outside the building here today is that you want to stop by and help us light this Christmas tree and help Haven of Rest. We'll be doing that all morning this morning, starting at 9 until 7, I believe. So if you stop by and you buy one of the lights is what you do. And then it lights the whole tree. It's really kind of a beautiful thing. Yeah,
it is. And Haven of Rest is a good organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, absolutely.
Well, hopefully some good advice that we can all put into our daily memories. And another show's come to an end. It's been a pleasure to share the past hour. Give us a call at Capital Financial Group. Our number's 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks for having us in today. We'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talks. Have a great week.
This has been Money Talks with Richard Peterson, President of Capital Financial Group. This program is informational only and should not replace a financial consultation before investing your money. Registered financial advisors are key toward a balanced and responsible financial policy. This has been a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its parent company, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.